Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody. And everybody. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app. A moist line next hour at 320 and 350, and two hacks in a dumpster. Hack in a dumpster coming up after Deborah's 3:30 news here on KFI. We're going to talk with Todd Benzman here. He is a journalist who has been stationed at the border covering just unbelievable experiences. And he's got another one. Todd writes for many publications. This particular piece was in the Daily Mail. He's also affiliated with the Center for Immigration Studies, and he's provided a lot of first-person coverage to us over the last couple of years. He was near the town of Juarez, which is right where New Mexico, Texas, and Mexico come together. And they came face-to-face with drug cartel operatives as they were trying to film some of the bad guys climbing over the border fence. It's quite a story. Let's get Todd on here. Welcome.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is a thriller of a story here. So you have a colleague with you, right? And you're trapped.
Yeah, I use a translator when I'm down in Mexico.
And you're driving along on a road parallel to the U.S. border. And you encounter these migrants climbing the fence. Describe your experiences and describe your encounters with drug cartel employees.
Sure. And it happens. You don't ever want it to happen, but it does happen if you're reporting in their in the heart of their business territory. And that's what this was. It's about an 8-mile stretch of old wall from the Bush era. It's kind of like this steel mesh, and it's mostly across from New Mexico. So when you drive through there, you can see holes cut all the way from, like, all 8 miles has about, you know, thousands of holes cut into it and repaired. And it's obviously a major source of what we call runners and gotaways into the United States. And if you really want to understand at least half of the border crisis, you have to also cover the runners, not the ones that just turn themselves in. as many hundreds of thousands do, but many millions more are running into the gaps that are left vacant by Border Patrol. Anyway, that's what this was. And so I wanted to go see what was happening. Hundreds every single day are being seen crossing in over and through this particular stretch of wall. It's very, very busy, heavily concentrated. So there's probably a pretty good chance that we were going to run into some bad guys. And sure enough, there's a group climbing, five of them, climbing over, and we spotted them. And I said, pull over, let's film them and see if we could talk to them as they're going over. And they're going over. And at first they didn't want to go over because they didn't know who we were. And we said, well, we're periodistas, journalists, just do what you were going to do. We're not going to capture you or something or interfere. It's not our business. And so we were watching them and filming them as they climbed. And then all of a sudden, like almost out of nowhere, these two gunmen show up out of the desert at our car. And they're accusing us of being rival smugglers who brought these guys there and didn't pay. So they were like, you know, you're going to have to pay us for these guys. And so, you know, my translator is like, no. We're just journalists here. We didn't bring them here. We don't owe you anything. We're just filming them. And we had to show some video that we were, and they had guns. Well, one of them had a pistol in his waistband. They did accept the story that we gave them and then said, well, we're going to have to, you need to not film what we're about to do next, which is to enforce on these guys that were climbing up the wall still. Three of them had already run off on the New Mexico side. And we just took that as our cue to get out of there as fast as possible. And so, yeah, we drove off,
What were they going to do to the stragglers who hadn't made it over the fence? Force them to pay?
Yes, absolutely. You'd probably beat them up they could catch them. But I don't think they could have caught those ones because they were pretty high up on that wall. But we weren't going to stick around to watch anything or be a witness to anything. We were just going to get out of there and be glad that we were allowed to get out of there because you just never know with these guys. They're, you know, these cartel guys, all they got to do is, say, get in my car, at the point of a gun and your whole life has changed.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, sure. They can shoot you dead right there or take you in the car and dump your body somewhere. And there are no consequences for that right now. They don't have to answer to anyone.
Well, I guess if they killed me, they'd probably be a little bit more because it's an American who's kind of somewhat known. There would have been a problem for them there, but I wouldn't have taken any comfort in that because I'd be dead.
Right. These guys climbing the fence, I mean, obviously you can go to any traditional checkpoint and you're going to be let into the United States. So the ones climbing the fence or sneaking through to America, a lot of these gentlemen are bad guys. They've got criminal records.
That's exactly right. That's why this is such an important element of the overall border crisis that I think gets lost. Most people just see the thousands of immigrants that are kind of waiting, congregating together on the U.S. side, having just illegally crossed. They turn themselves in. They're looking for Border Patrol because the policy from Washington is for Border Patrol to let everybody in, to process them directly in a day or two. So that's what most Americans are familiar with. They are not going to have criminal histories that are easy to find anyway. They know that they're going to probably pass a database check. But if you know that you are not going to pass a database check, that you've been in the U.S. before and you've been convicted of something and your fingerprints are on file, your only way in is if you pay the cartels and to bring you in and to run and hide and dodge. And then that's what's happening. Most of the ones that are running are going to be criminals. They're going to be people with histories. They're going to be killers, people that have been convicted of rape, robbery, everything, sexual offenses, you name it. And that's how they get in. They want to come back. They always want to come back after their deportations. If you finish your conviction, your sentence, then we deport you right away. And most of them stay away. But in this policy environment, this permissive policy environment where Border Patrol is too busy to chase people down like this because they're processing all the ones that gave themselves up, it's like a beautiful opportunity for them to come in. And they are coming in almost 2 million runners who have become gotaways that we never caught. We know that they cross by video or footprints in the sand or a drone caught wind of them, but we never caught them. 2 million of them have gotten into the country.
2 million?
And that 2 million runners have become gotaways into the country.
2 million individuals? These are not counted.
Individuals.
Repeat. These are individuals. 2 million are in the country, and they went out of their way not to be recorded at a traditional checkpoint. Like, they've got something they want to hide.
Run themselves in like everybody else, because obviously we would find that we'd run their prints or whatever, and we'd have to deport them, right? Even this administration will deport a rapist who's been convicted. But, you know, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
But there, you especially, so these guys are crossing in New Mexico. Well, that's interesting. That's why that's such a busy crossing point for runners, is because that's a Democratic governor over there who refuses to put state police anywhere near the border.
So that governor,
unlike Texas.
Yeah, that governor's right. Happy if murderers, rapists, child molesters come climbing over the fence and take off into the brush. They're okay with it.
Absolutely no problem with it. None. Or they would be doing what Greg Abbott does, which is to stop, block, catch them, deter them, do whatever they can to fill the gaps left by Border Patrol, who are off doing the processing. You would have New Mexican state police down there. But this wall is all across from New Mexico on purpose. This is the hot spot for this because there's nobody over there. There's a few Border Patrol. And other than that, and, you know, if you look at read my piece, I ran across a worker who's a federal contractor. In fact, I just put a video up on my X account of this guy, short clip. And he's welding a hole back together in the wall. And I found him and I interviewed him. And he says he fills about 12 holes a day. And he says by the next morning, there's 12 new ones. And so it's this never-ending hamster wheel of him welding and his crew welding holes shut on this fence. And while he's welding them shut, they're a quarter of a mile away, you know, cutting a new one. And it's just this nonstop cutting and repairing and cutting and repairing that you can never get ahead of on this wall. Because it's New Mexico across there, and there's nobody over there.
Yeah. All this is so nuts. Todd, I've got to go. Thank you for coming on again.
Thank you.
Todd Bensman. And you can read his piece at the Daily Mail, Cartel Secrets Exposed. He affiliated with the Center for Immigration Studies, writes for many publications, and he's written books on this. More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 2:30, how about you're tootling along the roadway? Maybe you're going a little too fast. Maybe you rolled through a stop sign. You get pulled over by a civilian who wants to give you a ticket. A civilian, not a cop. You know, an unarmed civilian. Michael Munks with this particular story coming up. This is another City of Los Angeles project. And Deborah knows, well, we both know how much we enjoy all the people who don't show up for work anymore.
Especially Fridays. Mm-hmm.
People who call in while riding their bike, checking to see if things are going well. Well, here's this new story. Richard Branson, he's got a cruise line. It's called Virgin Voyages, and he owns Virgin Airlines. Yeah. And it's a 4-week cruises. So remote workers can spend a month at sea in Southern Europe.
What?
Yes. It's called the Scarlet Summer Season Pass. Two people, about $10,000. You get a room, meals, fitness classes, Wi-Fi, laundry services, and all the other normal things. It's a package deal. It's 30% cheaper than booking four separate weeks. You just book the whole month, and you can work from the ship, and they cruise Southern Europe.
Wow.
Yeah. So that guy calling in to see how things are going today is now half naked on a lounge chair.
That's not fair.
Yeah. Within 24 hours, more than 2,000 of these deadbeats registered interest in it. And the spots sold out in 48 hours.
I think we should take our show. Let's do our show on a cruise.
Sign me up.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes, let's do it.
Why should all these cubicle workers end up on the lounges laying in the sun?
Yeah.
You know, we're the ones.
We're the ones that have shown up to work every day. Yeah. Let's just even talk about the pandemic when we came every single day.
And we're actually have to attract the listeners, right?
Right.
We're not doing the paperwork or whatever the hell they do in those cubicles.
Exactly.
It's the Scarlet Lady and the Resilient Lady ships. They can each accommodate about 2,700 people. And the cruises are going to run from June to September this year. And all these people work. Now, they're going to be upside down. They're coming from America.
That's tough with that time difference.
But, you know, I don't know. Are people really working when they're working remotely anyway, a lot of them?
I don't think so.
I don't think so easy. They're riding their bike. That's what they're doing.
They're taking long strolls or hiking. In the bathroom.
And then they send back selfies of themselves taking bike rides.
Life is not fair.
No. And, you know, it's an adults-only cruise, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is pretty exciting. The employers claim that they can't force people back in the office because then people quit and they go work for another company that doesn't demand that you show up. And everyone is under the impression that things are working just fine when people don't show up for work anymore.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
I
want to
see
think.
The data.
Yeah, I do too. When we come back, Michael Monks, if a civilian pulls you over, are you going to bother listening to him when he tries to give you a ticket? Well, we're going to test that out, I guess, in Los Angeles. Going to find out the details from Michael Monks, KFI News, next.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Michael Munks is here from KFI News.
He is indeed.
Are you here?
I'm here. Mike on?
Now, you're going to have to explain this. I don't entirely understand this. Is the way I see this, because I've got this complicated legal document, civilians are going to be able to pull me over and give me a ticket? Is that the bottom line here?
Honestly, if you look at it, the way that we've looked at it today, yeah, which is just in the document with all the government ease,
attached to it. Yeah, it's a thick document. There's thousands of words here. What does it add up to? I'm going to get...
And I don't want you to feel bad about not fully understanding, because the people who put it together,
yeah,
and the people who voted on it this week, they don't fully seem to understand it either.
This is like the third thing this week I've been presented that I didn't understand.
Yeah, and it's also the first thing where the city of LA is considering alternatives to providing police to respond to certain calls.
Right.
Earlier the week, we talked about mental health issues and dispatching social services people.
Anybody except an officer with a gun, right?
This is different.
This will work out.
This is not supposedly related to, say, pulling over John Cobalt for speeding down the road to get into Burbank on time, right?
Right.
This is supposed to be for non-moving violations and for like equipment violations related to your car, if it's smog or taillights out, that sort of thing.
I'm going to get pulled over by a civilian because my taillight is out?
It's possible. What it looks like is...
Why?
Let's take it back a little bit, just to give the audience an idea of what's going on. No, because your confusion is completely legit. I feel it. And again, I want to reiterate, the task force that put this together wasn't clear. And the committee, the City Council Transportation Committee that voted on it this week, they don't understand either. So
they voted on it.
A little bit of government sausage making here.
Yeah.
The City Council asked a task force to examine an alternative transportation enforcement model.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's a government way of saying, give us alternative options for enforcing traffic violations. And this task force took months and months. This was initiated in 2020 in the wake of the racial justice movement and a lot of policies that were impacted by that. This task force took months and months, and they came back. And this week, the Transportation Committee approved the recommendations that five recommendations. And yes, one of those recommendations is the use of unarmed civilians who are focused exclusively on road safety to enforce safety-related traffic violations like speeding, and to create, John, care-based teams responsible.
What, care-based
teams? I don't know what that means
specifically. What, are they going to care for my taillight?
Exactly. You know why? Because they think instead of getting a ticket that might be $150, $200, that you should be able to get a voucher that will cover that.
Voucher.
And you know, there are some arguments about, hey, this is a person who couldn't afford to get this situation fixed. And now they're being ticketed on top of not having the money to pay for the
repairs. If I can afford to get it fixed?
Then you will pay for it.
Then I will get a ticket.
And this language in this is to consider alternative fine and fee models that are means-based, which is another way of saying...
Oh, boy, they're going full socialism.
If you've got
here.
Cobalt money, you're paying for this. If you've got Monk's money, you might get a voucher. voucher.
So, well, no, I want you to pay too.
Well, right now we would, right? Yeah. You and I would pay the same amount. Right. This is a suggestion.
Oh, man, this is communism.
And they want it more self-enforcing infrastructure. Investments. So, I mean, you're thinking,
what does that mean?
Well, it might mean something like speed humps, you know, something like that. Like, let's slow down speeding in some of these neighborhoods with some of that type of infrastructure instead of having so many police around. And then the other recommendation is, quote, identify local obstacles that limit officer accountability and reduce the ability of the chief of police to discipline officers for misconduct, such as excessive use of force, racial profiling, and other violence.
All right, let me ask you something.
Sure.
Some joker pulls me over, and he's got a problem with my taillight or whatever. Why do I have to listen to him? He doesn't have a gun. Why can't I just start my car up and zoom away or never even pull over?
We heard from the LAPD on this case.
Yeah, and now they're going to send the armed officers?
Assistant Chief Don Graham said that this might not be safe. I think that he was making the argument in this committee meeting this week, not directly, but it seemed heavily suggested that this might not be a good idea because even non-moving violations, such as broken windows or some type of equipment failure, they could turn into dangerous situations. And, right. and as you're suggesting, if you've got an unarmed person there, you will eventually have to get an armed guy there.
A lot of bad guys have broken down cars that they drive around. That's just the way it is. That's why those people are pulled over, because that's a sign. If you have a car in disrepair, it often means, you know, you don't spend your nights working for your wife and two kids at a legitimate job, all right? There's a reason people get pulled over. And the cops know. They can tell by looking at the cars and the condition of the cars.
And there's certainly training involved in policing on how to pull people over, the type of behavior that you engage in. This months-long work by this task force analyzed a lot of the emotions that both parties feel, and they determined that, yes, police feel heightened emotions as well, but it's harder on the person who's being pulled over. And I think we can agree with that. You get nervous when you get pulled over.
Because he has a gun and I don't.
He's got a gun.
Gun changes everything.
Well, that's
all right. I don't see any reason to pull over because some fat schlub. It's like those schlubs who do the parking meter routine. Why should I listen to those people?
Well, the question that was raised in this committee meeting, even by a council member who ultimately voted in favor of pushing this forward, Tracy Park said, how will we protect the folks who would be civilians,
right, yeah,
and doing this work? And there wasn't a clear answer on this. Because here's how this is going to work, John. This is a months-long effort by this task force to put these recommendations together. And so now this committee, the Transportation Committee, and it's also going before the Public Safety Committee, they'll weigh in on it, and then they'll shoot it up to the council, and then the full council would vote. And then the city administrators and the legal department, the police department, they'll all have 90 days to report back on the feasibility of this.
Well, are they going to have the legal authority of police?
It doesn't sound like they will have the legal authority to even create this. There's questions about whether this is because do you need to be a sworn peace officer to commit these acts is the question.
Right, yeah.
And if they can't answer no, then this program could not possibly proceed.
This sounds really half-assed and half-baked.
What I learned from the folks who were served on the task force and spoke on this this week was they did explore a lot of feelings involved with communities that feel marginalized or ostracized or overly penalized by police, but then took those feelings and attached it to policing reforms. And it will be to be seen whether the city is able to take those policing reforms and turn it into something tangible.
Either you committed the crime or you didn't. And I'm sick of hearing these racial arguments. It's like, are they guilty or are they not guilty? That's all that matters. Their skin color or their ethnicity or anything else has no bearing on this. It's just whether you're guilty.
I think what this task force said was that there's over-policing in communities of color, and that people of color may have different feelings when being pulled over by police than, say, a white person based on history.
Really? And who's happy? Who's happy about being pulled over by police? Who's not freaking out?
No one.
I'd like to meet that guy.
That was clear in this report, too, is that everybody's nervous when you get pulled over, including the policeman. But the policeman is often, as we heard from the police in this argument today, The police are concerned about what's happening too, because it could be an unsafe environment for all.
If you have meter maids pulling me over, I'm not getting pulled over. You can go chase me now. I'd rather be on Channel 5 News.
That sounds like a confession.
Yeah.
A pre-confession.
Yeah, that's right. You'll know. You'll see me. All right, Michael. Very good. Thanks,
John.
Apparently, you're the only guy who understands this stuff. That's two this week that you had I didn't understand. Is this your new beat now? To try to translate incomprehensible legislation? Task forces. All right. Now, coming up after 3 o'clock, we got quite an hour at 3 o'clock. We're supposed to have Mark Kloss on. Did you hear him yesterday? We had him on for a half an hour. Mark Kloss is Polly Kloss's dad. Polly Kloss was killed back in 1993, one of the earliest news stories we covered. 12 years old, kidnapped. She was hosting a sleepover, slumber party with her friends. And Richard Allen Davis, who is now 69 years old, came in and put pillowcases over the girls' heads, dragged Polly off and raped and murdered her and dumped her body along the side of the road, covered it up with plywood, and she lay there for 2 months until police discovered her and eventually arrested Davis, who'd already committed horrible crimes years before and was let out because of bad policies that Jerry Brown instituted the first time the California idiot voters made him governor back in the 1970s. This crap's been going on for 50 years between him and Gavin Newsom. Anyway, Richard Allen Davis was sentenced to death. He has not been executed. And today he was supposed to be in court because Newsom signed a bill so a guy like Richard Allen Davis can get a resentencing hearing and officially wipe out his death sentence. What would replace it? I don't know. This is all new, this stuff. And we're going to have Mark Kloss on. He was supposed to be at the hearing today. He was on with us yesterday for about a half an hour, just absolutely out of his mind, angry. And I don't know what's wrong with you people. I don't know why you vote for guys like Newsom. You know, if he's not driving fast food franchisees out of business, he's... He's pulling everybody off death row. Oh, I got a story about Newsom, too, that I want to do in the next segment. Do you know he's led people to believe that he was a star college baseball player, nearly drafted by the Texas Rangers, and he never played a single varsity baseball game? Cal Matters, which is a political news site. I couldn't believe this story. And for 20 years, he's been letting people believe that. There are fraudsters, and this guy is a Hall of Famer when it comes to fraud. But, you know, keep voting for him. I'll tell you about Newsom's fake baseball career.
Structural damage to subways, buildings, and other areas. Apple is laying off more than 600 workers across the state. The company notified employees that layoffs would start May 27th. And the next Powerball jackpot Saturday night continues to grow. It's now estimated at $1.3 billion after no one has matched the winning number since January 1st. We're going to see how your drive is looking on the 57. And
you're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
After 3 o'clock, Mark Kloss will come on with us again. He's Polly's father. She was killed 30 years ago by Richard Allen Davis. A brutal rape and murder of a 12-year-old, and Davis earned a hearing to get his death penalty conviction resentenced because of Gavin Newsom signing a new disgusting law that opens a door for Richard Allen Davis after what he did to Polly. But, hey, you know what? Newsom is that kind of guy. He's the kind of guy who lies and misleads people about his college baseball career, believe it or not. Now, I love baseball. My son plays college baseball. And it's a difficult business. And Gavin Newsom, over the last 20 years, has basked in unearned glory for being a college baseball player of note. Let me just tell the story. You'll see how egregious this is. He is such a phony. Let's go back 20 years. San Francisco Giants, they're having their home opener, 2004. And they invited a special guest to throw out the first pitch. This story, by the way, is in Cal Matters.
The special guest is Gavin Newsom, new mayor of San Francisco, had just gotten elected. He went to the pitcher's mound wearing his dress shoes and a button-down shirt underneath his Giants jersey. And the announcer informed the crowd that he played first base for the University of Santa Clara and was drafted by the Texas Rangers. Now, any decent person would say, no, no, no. No, that didn't happen. None of that is true. Now, Newsom let it stand, so the whole Giants crowd, many of whom voted for Newsom, and probably thought he was a handsome hunk. They all applauded. So Newsom threw the pitch and nearly hit a photographer with the ball. Almost wiped the guy out. In the stands that day, a group of former Santa Clara University baseball players who were seething. Because Newsom, get this, never played a game for Santa Clara. Never. He was never on the varsity roster. It's not that he was on the bench. It's not that he was stuck in the bullpen. He was never on the varsity roster. Not one game. Here's the story. His dad, again, William Newsom, was a San Francisco judge and a financial advisor to the Gettys, the wealthy oil family. See, Newsom used to tell this story that he was headed to community college until he got a call from Santa Clara, the baseball coaches. He got a partial scholarship and it changed his life. And you lead people to, he leads people to believe that he had this cool baseball career, almost got drafted by the Texas Rangers. Well, it was actually arranged by William Newsom, his dad, and the Gettys. One of William Newsom's friends connected Newsom to the baseball program. And one of the Gettys was on the Board of Regents, wrote him a letter of recommendation. Mike Cummins, the former assistant coach at Santa Clara, said the governor has embellished his baseball career a little bit at times. A little bit. Never played a single effing game. Cummins is now the head baseball coach at Cal State East Bay. Said that Newsom never played in the varsity game. He may have played some scrimmages. He's embellished. It's half-truths. He was recruited to Santa Clara. He was there in the fall, but he never played. He didn't have a varsity career there. Apparently, what he did was he played in some fall scrimmages, freshman and sophomore year, but was never played in the springtime. That was it. Kevin Schneider, who pitched for two seasons at Santa Clara, said he didn't earn it. He didn't earn the right to say it. I worked my ass off. So did everyone else on the team. For him to go all these years to say he did something that he didn't, that takes not just talent, but also dedication and effort and sacrifice, it is not right. He only played during the fall tryouts for his freshman and sophomore years. Then he would leave the baseball program before the regular season began. He does not appear on the Santa Clara Broncos all-time roster. He does not appear in any media guides published by the athletic department when they preview the upcoming season. So he was never on the Santa Clara baseball team and never played during the seasons. He did fall tryouts. And he probably sucked, and they cut him. Because in the fall is where they do the evaluations. And then you're told to go home. He led people to believe that the Texas Rangers either drafted him, recruited him, somehow showed interest. Newsom apparently was among hundreds of high school players across the country that the Rangers looked at while preparing their annual amateur draft. Former scout said, we did watch him play in high school, but we don't remember specifically scouting him. What happens is the scouts go to games and they're usually interested in a couple of standout players, but they keep their eye on everybody else to see, hey, you know, maybe there's a surprise here. Maybe there's someone I hadn't heard of who will impress. Newsom was never that guy. He said, major league teams are very thorough in scouting California, and it's likely there were several players
on this particular high school team that our scouts had interest in seeing. But at one time, one scout may have come up to him and introduced himself and knew some there. Somehow that got turned into he got drafted by the Texas Rangers. His scholarship was $500. Is this right here? Yeah. He was on the junior varsity team. He got $500 during the fall quarter of his freshman year. And Newsom's, now the attendance, the tuition at Santa Clara that year was $10,251. So he got $500. That would be a 5% scholarship. He got letters of recommendation from former Governor Jerry Brown. Oh, he's the guy who enabled Richard Allen Davis to run around free to begin with. In fact, Jerry Brown appointed Gavin Newsom's father to the Superior Court and to the Court of Appeal. That's disgusting. He can't feel shame because he's a sociopath. But he should be ashamed of himself. Running around all these years, pretending that he was a high school baseball star. He was at Santa Clara. He was a star. You have to be a star if you're going to get drafted by the Texas Rangers. And he'll let the announcer announce that on opening day for the San Francisco Giants while he's standing on the mound throwing out the first ball and nearly killing a photographer. I am offended.
I'm so sorry. I know this hits, you know.
No, it does.
It's hard.
It's hard to succeed in baseball. And isn't it classic, though, for a guy like Newsom? Stolen valor, they call it in the military.
But so many people, they have these inflated egos, and they have to inflate stuff about them that just kind of.
Yeah. This is what insecure. See, he knows on some level he knows he's a fake. He's like this cardboard cutout who got this because his dad was influential. The Gettys were rich, and between his dad and the Gettys, they set him up in business so he could have his plump jerk winery and the restaurants. And he was a good looking guy, and he brown nosed Willie Brown, and he got himself into the system, and now he spouts all this left wing progressive nonsense. But he's been given power, and next thing you know, Richard Allen Davis is up for a hearing to get resentenced after raping brutally and murdering brutally Polly Kloss, which is the next chapter here in the Newsom case. We're going to have Mark Kloss, Polly's dad, on because can't believe it. We had him on for a half hour yesterday. 30 years later, there's the Richard Allen Davis story. He should have been long dead. He should have been long executed. All right, Mark Kloss coming up next.
People have died in these illegal street races involving cars and crowds. Assembly Bill 3085 would increase penalties for participants, and the LA City Council adopted a resolution in support of it. It's sponsored by Democratic Assemblyman Mike Gibson and Al Muratsuchi of the South Bay area. The bill would allow cars to be impounded and forfeited even if the driver isn't arrested, and would require defendants, if convicted, to attend a victim impact program. The City Council voted 10-2. Michael Monks, KFI News.
The news is brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys, a man accused of murdering two of his kids.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.